I'm going to talk about a blueprint for the battle. How many of you recognize that we're in a battle? We're in a never-ending battle when we're on this planet. The battle will be over once we've been promoted, okay? But right now, we're in a battle every single day, a spiritual battle. I want to talk about how to handle that battle when you're under attack, what you should do. We'll talk about four things. But if you would, we're going to spend the vast majority of this morning in Psalm 42, a little bit in 43 because they go together, but Psalm 42 primarily. And as you know, this is really, we're getting, when does fall officially start? Like towards the end? It already started. Oh, I love it. Yeah, I don't pay attention to that. Fall. I love fall. I love fall. I love winter. I love, because we probably eat the best in fall and winter with Thanksgiving coming up, with Fall Fun Fest coming up, with all these events, with Christmas. It's a great time, right? When we get towards Christmas, it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? But you know, sometimes it should be joyful, right? The whole year should be joyful, but there's something about as we get into fall and into winter time with Christmas coming, it should be joyful. But you know, a lot of times for a lot of people, it can be a very sad time of the year. A lot of sad things can have happened, you know, around, you know, I just think of, it's a horribly sad time of the year for Jayhawk fans because it's football season, it's not going well. Just kidding. It gets better, maybe not this year. It might not get better, but around basketball season, we'll see how that goes. But, you know, things happen. I know Angie's father passed away on Thanksgiving a few years ago. And a lot of you have similar things that have happened, family members that have passed on, things that have happened, you know, around Thanksgiving or around Christmas time. And when you think about it, we have an enemy. We have a real enemy, Satan and his minions. They are our enemy. And do you know that Satan is cruel? He is a cruel, cruel being. And he is crueler. You could think of the worst people in history. The worst people in history, and he is worse than they are. Because he was the motivator for everything that they did. Think of any dictator, any mass murderer, anybody. Satan was the motivating cause behind those things. And I'll tell you this, you have to remember this. You would think, oh, it's, you know, Thanksgiving, it's Christmas. Satan will give me a break this year. He's not going to give you a break as far as trying to attack you. Because what does the enemy come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. That is all he's about. That is his mission. That is what he tries to do with you individually, family, marriage, churches, nations, steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mission. And so he will attack you. He'll try to attack you with thoughts. Has anyone ever, you know, you have thoughts that seem like they're coming out of nowhere? They're really not coming out of nowhere. They're coming from the enemy of your soul to cast doubt, to cast, really cast doubt on God, but in different ways as well. And he never stops. He never stops. He never takes a break. And David went through these periods. And we'll see this in Psalm 42. This is a psalm where he's writing this when he is running away from his own son, Absalom. Absalom had come in. He had taken over the kingdom. And he was out to arrest his father, probably kill his father and all his other relatives and siblings. And so David is on the run, and he's running from his own son who wants to kill him. And in 2 Samuel 16, this is kind of the story behind this psalm, part of the story. But let's turn there. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, and also verse 13. But 2 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, also Shimei said thus when he cursed. So here David is running away from Israel. He's running away from Jerusalem, and he passes by this guy named Shimei, and he curses David. He says, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue, right? You detestable person. You know, he's taunting him. He's taunting him, and he says in verse 8, "The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man." And he kept saying these things and saying these things, and one of David's soldiers wanted to go kill him, and David said, no, maybe the Lord sent him to say these things. But you know that the enemy whispers those same types of things into your ears sometimes. Trying to tear you down, trying to say this is your fault that this is happening. You caused this. All of this is on you because of your actions and the things that you did. And so many times what we see is a physical reality, something like a physical battle in the Old Testament, we gain spiritual lessons for our spiritual battles, on how to face our spiritual battles. And here we have a literal person that is taunting King David, casting dispersion and all kinds of negative things on him. And we have the same type of enemy many times whispering and saying things in our ear, trying to blame us for the things and the situation that we find ourselves in right now. So what do we do when that happens? That's what we're going to talk about. But verse 13 in 2 Samuel says this, "And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed him as he went, threw stones at him and kicked up dust." Right? What is one of the things? When we take up the shield of faith, what is it against? To stop what? The fiery darts of the enemy. The enemy tries to throw darts. He tries to throw accusations, tries to curse you. And the shield of faith can prevent those from hitting you. God has given us armor to put on to protect us from these types of things. But we have to know the enemy is constantly throwing darts at us, trying to penetrate our armor, trying to find that weak spot in our armor. In Psalm 42, we go back there, Psalm 42, verse 1, says, "As the deer," now remember, David is writing this, as he's on the run, as he's running from his son, Absalom, and he writes, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God." Now we sing a song, most of you know the song that we sing. I'm not going to sing it this morning, okay? But we all know the song, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, pants for you," right? And it goes on and on and on. Wonderful song. And that's where it comes from, is this psalm. We're not going to read the whole psalm today, this morning, because I don't have time, but I encourage you to go and meditate on this psalm. If you feel like you're being pursued by the enemy, you feel like you're under attack, and you don't really know why, and people are trying to maybe blame you for the situation you're in, pray through this psalm, meditate on it, and it'll help heal whatever wounds you're going through. Now, David, again, he's writing this when he's under attack, when he's being pursued, when his life is being threatened. Now, I don't know a whole lot about deer. I'm not a deer. Any deer hunters in here? A few. Okay, there's a few of you. But let me just ask you guys, does a deer pant just for no reason? No, usually it's because they're being pursued. They're afraid. You know, someone's pursuing them, attacking them, and they're running. And I even read this a little study on them, that deer can use up to 80% of their water reserves as they're fleeing. And so they just use all this energy, all this water reserve up, and when they feel like they can't run or they think they're safe, they stop, but they start panting for water. They need to replenish that water that they just used trying to flee from whatever it is they were afraid of or that is pursuing them. And so the first thing they do when they think they've finally gotten away is to find water. Locate some water. I don't know how many of you watch the Discovery Channel. You ever watch like any kind of animal show where they have like Africa and they've got gazelles that are being chased by like cheetahs or lions? Now, how many of you are rooting for the lion when you're watching those? Oh, you're a sick little dude right there. Most of us would probably be like, oh, little gazelle, I hope he gets away, or she gets away from the lion or whatever it is. But here we have David. He's being chased by the enemy, and his soul is tired. You ever feel like you're just worn out from the constant attacks of the enemy? Let me just tell you, and we'll develop this, but God is the water that you need when you're under attack. Amen. God is the water that we all need when we feel like we're under attack. So I want to talk about this morning four things to do when you're under attack. Four things to do when you're under attack. So it's like a blueprint of what to do when you're under attack. The first thing, number one, recognize that you are in a battle. You have to realize you can't put your head in the sand and think this, you're not in a battle and everything is going to be fine and Satan's going to leave me alone and never bother me. Now, he might do that if you're doing nothing for the kingdom. But as soon as you try doing something for God, as soon as you try to stand on his word, stand on his promises, start witnessing to people, inviting people to church, you can guarantee the enemy doesn't like that and he's going to try to do things to cause you problems. Okay, so number one, recognize that you're in a battle. Psalm 42, verse 3. David writes this, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?'" You ever be talking to someone come up to you and says, "Well, you know, people have been talking and they're saying..." They're saying, they're doing. It's always, who is they, right? They never tell you who they are. Usually it's them. But usually they never tell you who the they is, right? Or, yeah, they. Is that correct grammar? I don't know. We'll move on. Psalm 42. But this goes with it. Verses 9 and 10. "I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" David is saying that they is his enemy. His enemy is pursuing him. My enemy, my enemy. We all have enemies. We have an enemy, and we have those that are under him that are our enemies. They are the they. Now, David had literal, physical enemies, but we know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemy really is not the, you know, people. It's the spiritual forces arrayed against us. That's our enemy. That's who we pray against. That's who we come against. Whether they're a physical enemy or a spiritual enemy, they will say things like, "Where is your God?" Right? And sometimes we can start having these thoughts in our head, "Hey, I serve God. Why is this happening to me? I come to church. I pay my tithes. I try to be nice to everybody. I'm doing all the things I think are right. Where is God?" That's where Satan wants to get you to be, a place where you're casting doubt on God's love for you, on his provision, on his wanting to desire to bless you, to get you to that place where you're saying yourself, "Where is God? Where is my God?" But people will say that. The enemy will whisper that. "Where is your God? Look at all this stuff happening. Where all this stuff that's going on. The stuff you're, it doesn't... It's not helping you, right? You need to start thinking about yourself more." All these thoughts will start going through our heads. And when that happens, we have to do the same thing that Jude wrote in his letter. Jude verse 9. There's only one chapter in Jude, so there's no Jude 2. It's Jude verse 9. It says, "Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" When those whispering, when that accusation start coming into your head, those thoughts, just stop. What are we to do? Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we say, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you." That's what we do. That's what we say. It's the same things repeated in Zechariah chapter 3. "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you out of my mind, out of my family, in Jesus' name." And, you know, the things that the enemy will try to accuse you of, those are real things going on. But and the way he does it, though, is also a lie. It's a real lie. It's a real thing, but it's also a lie. It's a real lie. And what is Satan the father of? Lies. Lies. So recognize, number one, you're in a battle, right? If you're going through depression, don't just have the attitude, well, I just go into depression now and then. No, it's a battle. You have to recognize it is warfare. It is a battle that is taking place. And you know what? Satan is very good at what he does. He's very good at what he does. And he will produce evidence to back up his lies. Now, the evidence is false evidence, but he will produce evidence. For example, the story of Joseph and his brothers. His brothers, you don't want brothers like this, who will take you, throw you into a pit, and then try to cover it up, what they've done, by bringing back a bloody coat, right, to their father, who looks at this bloody coat, and what does he think? A wild animal has devoured my son. So there was evidence. Joseph, or not Joseph, but his father looked at the evidence, which was false evidence, and came to a conclusion of what happened to his son Joseph. And Satan will try to produce evidence in your situation, in all kinds of environments and situations, but it's false evidence because we have the truth of the Word of God to stand on. That's what we have to go back to, the truth of the Word of God. And for instance, one of the biggest lies that he tells couples is that you're not meant for each other because you two are so different. You wouldn't make it. I know I wouldn't make it if I married someone like me, okay? Sometimes I can't stand me, all right? We compliment. Angie and I compliment each other. Right? She's strong where I'm weak. I'm weak where she's strong. So a lot of you, sometimes you'll marry, like if you're a person that likes to be on time, you probably have married someone that puts that to the test, right? Right? I'm not going to say who's on time in our relationship and who might not be on time all the time, but usually you balance each other, right? And especially in the first few years of marriage when you're trying to get all this, that's when those attacks come the most. Like, we're never going to make it. Why don't, and all these doubts and everything. But you're learning to grow together because you really are complementing one another. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there before I say something that gets me in trouble. So, the number one thing, recognize that you're in a battle. Number two, stop listening to yourself. Stop listening to yourself. Psalm 42, verse 4. Here's what David continues to write. He says, When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the pilgrim's feast. Right, and he's saying these things, and it's not cheering him up. You can almost read it in there. He's kind of like, well, look at all these things I used to do. I was so happy before, and now I'm not happy anymore. I've done all these things, but all I can do is think back and try to remember them, but it's making me depressed. When you are feeling depressed, listen, do not try to cheer yourself up. Okay? When you're feeling depressed, don't try to cheer yourself up. Okay? You need to get around other people that can encourage you. That's why it's one of the main battles when people are feeling depressed, and I talk with people about this from time to time here. The worst thing you can do when you're feeling depressed is not come to church. Just say, oh, I'm just going to stay home today. No, you need to be in church. You need to be around people that can encourage you and that can say a word to you that will help you feel better, right? Get you out of that depression maybe. Right, we need to get around other people to encourage us. We need to get in the Word when we're feeling depressed. Right? Don't get in, your own head. Get in the mind of God. Get in His Word. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Get in the Holy Spirit's presence when you're feeling down, when you're feeling depressed. Turn on some worship music and just worship. And here's the key, though. Do these things before you get depressed. Right? It's a lot easier to prevent illness than it is to try to cure illness. It's a lot easier to do these things, right? Coming, that's the importance of coming to fellowship, coming to church, coming to Bible studies, a prayer group, whatever. being around people that can encourage you. I always say one of the biggest mistakes I made was after I got saved was not joining a church. I just thought I will, I was in a fraternity in college. That was my fellowship group. If you want to grow in Christ, a secular pagan fraternity in college is probably not the best place to get your fellowship from. And so there's a lot of up and down. And Josh talked about this at the men's retreat this weekend, this up and down that we sometimes go through in our Christian walk. And so, and let me just mention this. We had a great time at the men's retreat the last couple days. And I just want to thank, obviously, Richard and Lori Marks for opening up their house to us. I mean, it is just a blessing to be able to go down to the lake and enjoy a time together. And I also want to, I need cooks for us, so that's even better. We ate really well this weekend. But I also want to thank Josh, because Josh stepped up and he taught most of the devotional time that we had, and he did an excellent job of doing that. So thank you, Josh. Yeah. So do these things. So I always say, back to my story, once we moved here from Los Angeles and started coming to Pebble Creek, that's when the roots, the real roots of my faith began to get planted. And I always say that that's important, but it's important to also, once you're in church, who you're hanging around with as well. So you want to hang around people that are going to encourage you, that they're doing things that you want to try to emulate as you're beginning this walk in the Lord. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. But those are the things we want to do. Not wait till we're in trouble. Do them now. Do them now. Start doing them now. Preemptively. Now, this season that we're moving into, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all the other stuff around these next few months, there will be battles. And maybe you're not going to face necessarily a major battle, but you're going to know somebody. There'll be somebody that's facing a major battle, something, that happens or whatever it might be. And I just want to encourage you with this. When you feel like you're being attacked, attack back. When you feel like the enemy's attacking you, don't just take it, attack back. Don't just go on necessarily the defensive, go on the offensive and attack back. Sometimes men, we're not really programmed to talk about our feelings. There are a lot of times that I'd come home when I was on the police department, or I'd go out to dinner. Angie and I would meet, we'd go out to dinner or whatever, and she'd want to know, how was my day? And there's a lot of things that I didn't like talking about. There are negative things occasionally that you experience in any kind of job that maybe you're on. But when you're on the police department, you do some things and you're exposed to some very negative situations sometimes. I don't know if I grew up this way, but I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing things, just leaving that there. But Angie, if you don't know Angie, she likes to pull out things, right? So she keeps asking questions. And there were a few times I felt like when I finally would say, okay, here's what happened. I had to deal with this today and this today. And I would make her depressed, I think, sometimes. And then I'd be wondering, is this really beneficial? Is this helping anything right now? So what we need to do, whether you're a man or a woman, is learn how to relate and deal with our feelings the right way. The right way. And that leads me to number three. So we need to stop listening to ourselves, okay? And this, you might think this is a little backwards or what? How does this, but we need to start talking to ourselves. Stop listening to ourselves. And let me explain this. We need to stop listening to our soul, to our emotions. And we need to start talking to ourselves through our spirit that's been born again. We need to start talking to ourselves through our spirit. Psalm 42, verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5. So this is what David does. He starts talking to his soul, to his emotions, okay? And he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So David starts talking to his soul. The soul is your emotions, right? Your right? Your wants and your desires, all those things is your soul. But your spirit has to be in control over your soul. Your spirit, born again, come alive, empowered by the Holy Spirit, needs to speak to your soul. You know, what is cast down? What does that mean? Cast down. It means depressed. Pushed down. Why are you depressed? Why do you feel cast down? You know, speaking to his soul and disquieted in a way, just when it says, why are you disquieted? That means roaring. Roaring. Why is my soul roaring inside? You ever feel that way? Like your emotions are just screaming inside of you. You know, kind of like in the morning sometimes, early morning prayer, we'll be sitting there, you know, it'll be 7:15, maybe we just started praying, all of a sudden my stomach starts rumbling. And I just say, oh, that's just the spirit. No, it's not. It's my hunger pains coming. But sometimes our soul is like that. It starts rumbling inside of us. So what do we do? Well, let's continue on. Psalm 131, verse 2. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, David writes. Like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Like a weaned, so calmed. David says, I calmed my soul. I quieted, right? It was disquieted. I quieted my soul. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now, what does a baby do when you try to wean them off a bottle? They cry. They throw fits, tantrums. They don't want to be weaned off that bottle. And it's the same thing with our soul, right? Our soul does the same thing when our spirit that's been born again exerts control, right? For me, 19 years of my soul being in control of my life. I was a very selfish person for 19 years. Since then, not a selfish thing that I've ever done. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a constant battle, right? But for 19 years, there was no battle. It was just my soul. Whatever JC wanted to do, whatever it thought in my best interest, right? I didn't most of the time take other people. I was a nice person if you knew me. But when it came, you know, to the nitty gritty, I was going to do what was best for me, okay? What I felt was best for me. Very selfish person when I was for 19 years. But why was that? Because until you get saved, you are dead in trespasses and sin. Right, your spirit is dead. A dead person can't exert any authority. But when you become born again, and your spirit now is alive, now there's a battle that will take place the rest of your life. Many times, where your spirit wants to, you know, that is in communion with the Holy Spirit, wants to stay on the throne, let's say, of your body. But that soul, especially, let's say you were 20, 30, 40 years old before you got saved. That soul was really used to running things. That's why it's so important to get the word and to get our kids saved as soon as possible, right? And then start discipling them and training them up in the way that they should go. But the soul always wants to come back and be in charge again. So we have to learn, how do we keep our soul in that position of submission to the Holy Spirit and to our spirit? I think there's many ways. Obviously, it's being in the Word of God every day. It's being in fellowship, right, with other believers. It's praying and praying in the Holy Spirit. Because what do you do when you pray in your prayer language? You are edifying yourself. That's what the Word of God says. We're building ourselves up. And when you build up yourself and your spirit, then you can stay in a place over your emotions, right? Have you ever made a decision based on your emotions? It usually doesn't turn out very well, right? But our emotions, our soul wants to make the decisions, and they usually lead us into bad situations. So we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about this principle, Genesis 25, verse 23. Genesis 25 through 23. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. The older shall serve the younger. And I'm just going to talk about this for a little bit, because we see this principle. Now, that's with Jacob and Esau, okay? But you see this principle with Rachel and Leah, with Isaac and Ishmael, Joseph and his brothers, David and his brothers, even what we talked about a couple weeks ago, the prodigal son and his older brother, right? This principle, the younger shall serve, or the older shall serve the younger. Our soul has to serve our spirit. Because if you get it the other way around, you get an Ishmael, or you get some other problem that comes out of that. And I'm not talking about, you think about kids, okay? We have three kids. Abby is our oldest, and Sophie is our middle child, and then Jack is our youngest. Now, Sophie, they probably all think this, but Sophie thinks that Jack is the favorite, or sometimes that Abby is the favorite, right? And Sophie, let me put it this way, Sophie is our strong-willed child. Okay? She is our strong-willed child. And I'm not making the case that Abby and Sophie should serve Jack, okay? Jack would love that, but that's not where I'm going with this, because I'm not really talking about biological kids. I'm trying to make a biblical principle, and maybe I'm just confusing everybody. Your spirit should rule over your soul. And so when you're under attack, when the enemy is whispering things into your ear, your spirit needs to tell your soul. Because when the enemy is whispering things, your soul can get really agitated, anxious, worried, angry, in despair, and in depression. And when that starts to happen, your spirit has to be strong enough to tell your soul, shut up. Shut up. Be quiet. Okay? Stop listening to your soul and start speaking through your spirit to your soul. Just like what David did. Which leads us to number four. The fourth thing to do when you're under attack. Number four, go to God. Go to God. Go to God, just like we read, that as a deer goes to water when it needs water, we need to go to God. In Psalm 42, verse 5, actually, I'm going to read three verses. 42, 5, verse 11, and then Psalm 43, which goes along with Psalm 42. But this is first, 42, verse 5. We read this before. David says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." His countenance. Now, countenance just means face. Just think of it like face, right? The help of his face, his countenance. Next slide. This is Psalm 42, verse 11. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" It sounds the same. "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Now, instead of his countenance, David's talking about my countenance. He's the help of my countenance. And then Psalm 43, verse 5 says this, the same exact thing. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." What is David saying? I think what David is saying is, if we look at God's face, when we're depressed, when we're discouraged, when we're feeling attacked, if we look at God's face, it will change our face. When we look at his countenance, it will change our countenance. If we keep looking at our countenance, that's not a good thing, especially when you're going through something. Because when you're sad, when you're depressed, when you're angry, you can try to hide it. But a lot of times, if somebody will probably pick up, something's not right. You don't look like yourself. Something is going on, and they'll pick up on it. And that's human. That's natural. okay? We go through emotional things, but it shows through our countenance, our faith. If we're we're worried, depressed, angry, it's hard. If it's really something that's really attacking us, right, it's going to be really hard to kind of put that face on like nothing is wrong. But again, when Satan is attacking you, what are you supposed to do? Attack back. Attack back. So David, what, you know, you read these Psalms, what is he sad about? Right, his own son is trying to kill him, right? Trying to chase him down and kill him. And in addition to that, what is David being forced to leave behind? His kingdom, his throne, his family. But what do you think David was most concerned about leaving? The temple. Because in Israel, where was the presence of God? In the temple. And so as David is being forced, yes, he's sad that he's being chased by his own son. He's sad he has to be leaving his throne and his family behind. But I think if we know David, what he's most sad about is that he's leaving the presence of God behind. That's, I think, his soul, right, is getting like he's leaving that behind. But then I think as you read more of his Psalms, you can see that David realizes you don't have to be in the temple to experience the presence of God. You don't have to be in a building to only, that's not the only time you can experience the presence of God. And so, you know, in this psalm, we can see David a little bit. He's complaining, right? And I think this is important for us to remember. When we come into God's presence to pray, are we coming in there griping and complaining, or are we genuinely praying, okay? Because, you know, sometimes I've found myself do this occasionally, is get, you know, my soul, let's say my emotions, and I know I got to talk to him. I know I need to get alone with God, but sometimes the first thing I do is start telling God what he should do in this situation. God, you really need to deal with this person, or you need to really deal with this situation, Lord. You know, maybe it's griping because I feel like he was late. You're not doing it in the right time. Why is this taking so long, Lord? Why are we going through this? Why is it taking so long? But what does the Word of God say? How are we supposed to enter His courts? With thanksgiving and praise. That's how we enter into God's presence. Not with our griping. That can come later. God's not offended by our complaints and our what we're having problems with. But when we come into God's presence, we got to come in, first of all, thanking Him and praising Him. Amen? That's how we come into it. Because you know what? Sometimes I will remember that. And sometimes I'll be here at work and I'll just come up here and just start coming with that attitude of, okay, I'm just going to start by thanking God and praising Him. And you know what? I forgot about my problems. They don't even worry me by the time I'm done thanking Him and praising Him. That's how we need to come. And even whether it's here, that's why we start with praise and worship in a service. That's how we're to start with praise and thanksgiving to Him, to change what? Our countenance. Because maybe a lot of times people come in here and they've been going through something in their family, right? But they need to thank God and praise Him. And that's why I'm so thankful for the worship team that we have. It is such a blessing. It helps us come into His courts with thanksgiving and praise. And we remember how great God really is. God is great, right? I mean, think about, if you just start thinking, you've been forgiven of all your sin. Jesus has paid for all your sin and my sin by His blood. Are you thankful for that? Can you praise Jesus for that, right? We're heaven bound. No matter what happens on this earth, we will be in heaven one day. We will see God face to face one day. We are born again by the Word of God. We're kept by the power of God. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. I mean, these are things to be excited about, to be grateful about, to be happy about, to be thankful about, right? We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? We all things are under our feet in Christ Jesus. Right? We have authority over all the power of the enemy through Jesus. Those are things to praise him about, to be thankful about. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I ask them as we close this morning, as we go into just a time of prayer, to just do one song. But we have a lot to thank God for. Amen. And so when you're under attack, and maybe some of you feel like that, you better get to some water. And here is the water that we need to get to. Right? We need to get to the water of his word. So I'm going to ask you to stand. You know, and I want you to pray as we begin this time of prayer. I want you to begin, obviously, praising God and thanking him. Right? And this song goes a long way to kind of bring us into that environment. But I want you to think about the message that I shared this morning and just ask, Lord, what are you saying to me through this message? Right? It's important. Every message, we should always try to personalize it. Like, what, Lord, what are you trying to say to me through this message? Right? We're entering into what should be a joyous time of the year. A lot of great holidays and things that are coming up. But there might be some sad times. And there might be some memories that come up that make you feel depressed or sad during this time. And maybe when that happens, the enemy, I know he's going to try to jump on those. He's going to try to amplify those bad times and try to attack you. But I just encourage you to remember you need to attack back. We have to attack back. We need to go and we need to get a very cool drink of fresh water and spend some time with the Lord. Amen. So, Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for who we are in Christ Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amazing love that welcomes me. The kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. Oh God, you're so good. God, you're so sinners saved.